Dear congregation, what do you most want to gain, and what do you most fear losing? What is of most value? When you answer those questions, you're answering the question, what is your treasure? We all possess things, have things, but our treasure is what we especially hold dear and are willing to sacrifice other things in order to have, in order to keep our treasure. The Lord Jesus shows that there are two, you could say, treasuries that there are. A treasury of this earth and a treasury of heaven. He shows that in this Sermon on the Mount, where he is teaching us about the kingdom of heaven and what the kingdom of heaven is like. He begins by telling us about the subjects of the kingdom. Blessed are the Beatitudes. And also about the law of the kingdom and the living in the kingdom, what that involves. And he has done so also in the beginning of this chapter when he speaks of those personal devotional aspects of prayer and fasting and almsgiving. And now he comes to deal with how we are to relate to our earthly needs and the things of this earth. And on the one hand, at the end of this chapter, he makes so clear that if we belong to the kingdom of God, then we do not have to worry and be filled with anxiety about how we will manage, because he says the Lord knows that you have need of food and clothing and all these other things. But coming closer to our text, he also teaches and warns about the danger of making an idol out of the things of this earth, and shows how foolish it is, because the things of this earth cannot be compared to what comes from that heavenly treasury and what is in that treasury. And so we have this call, laying up treasure. That's our theme, laying up treasure. First then, earthly treasure. Secondly, heavenly treasure. And third, valued treasure. Laying up treasure, earthly treasure, heavenly treasure, and valued treasure. It begins by saying, lay not up for yourselves treasure upon earth, in verse 19. What are these treasures upon earth that we would lay up? Maybe one of the first things we think of is money. Money is a treasure. Money has value. Money has great value for life on earth, doesn't it? We need money, and we like to have money. Already the children find it special when they get money, and they think, now I can go to the store and I can buy. You think of all the things you buy, whether at the dollar store or whether at a store that things cost more money. And when we're young and we start to work, you start to work for the first time outside the home and you get paid. It's wow. What are we going to do? Maybe we say, Mom, bring it to the bank, because we want to save it. We want to use it. And we start to make more money as young people. And you start to think of bigger things. You think of a vehicle or a truck, or you think of, eventually you start thinking of a down payment on a house. And especially today, with house prices going up so fast, you think, we need money, and that is so valuable to have, because then you can buy things. And then as you go through life, you start thinking of other things you can buy with money. Other possessions, other toys, other bigger and better. Money is so valuable to have, isn't it? Also, when we're older, it's so valuable to have money that we don't have to live from government paycheck to government check. It's hard to manage that way. It's so nice to have money. With it, we can buy a lot of things. We can go a lot of places. We can enjoy a lot of things in life. Certainly, money is valuable. Treasure upon earth. And we, in our communities, are known as ones who work hard. We're not lazy. We don't just sit around and stretch out our hands for the government or others just to give us the bare minimum. No, we work hard. And we, some of us do very well, some of us struggle, but we work hard to get. And as fathers, we can justify it saying, I have to support my family. Maybe I have to pay Christian tuition, education, tuition. And in the meantime, also, our standard of living goes up. Because after all, other people have it, and that's just normal to have now. And we get ahead in the midst of all the treasures on earth. And in the midst of this all, the Lord Jesus says, lay not up for yourselves treasures upon earth. Are you thankful for that call? We're to be thankful for every word of God, aren't we? Every call that the Lord Jesus gives us. Also this call, lay not up for yourselves treasures on earth. What does this mean? Does that mean we should not work so hard, we should not make money, we should... Well, you remember what the Lord tells us in Proverbs to the sluggard. Go to the ant and consider her ways and be wise. She works hard. Yes, we're to work hard. It says, whatever your hand finds to do, do with all your might. Work hard. Does it then mean that we are not to keep anything we receive, and we're just to give it all away? After all, that's what the Lord Jesus said to the rich young man, didn't he? He said, go sell all that you have and give to the poor and follow me. Should we maybe do that? Sell all your vehicles here, sell all your things, give it all away? Well, we also know that that was a command to the rich young ruler to test his heart, to expose the idolatry of his heart. But that is not a command that God gives to everybody. God speaks of blessing the storehouses of those who fear his name, meaning also those who fear God may have storehouses with possessions. It even speaks of, in Corinthians, of the parents laying up in store for the children. And it's the very same word as is used in our text. There is a place for laying up. What is Christ forbidding then? Notice there's a hint in the next words. Where moth and rust corrupt, and thieves break through and steal. You see it happen, don't you? There's that lady, and she has that beautiful woolen dress, and she puts it away because it's such a special dress, only for special occasions. And she comes to it later, and it has all holes in it. What's happened? Well, those moths got in it, and they laid their eggs, and those eggs hatched, and those little larvae, they ate away at that wool, and there's big holes. The moth corrupts. Also rust. Literally, that which eats away. Our possessions can so easily be get eaten away. All our vehicles here, in 20 years, what will they be like? Maybe they'll be rusted out in a scrapyard. Rust eats away what we value. But not only rust, can be mold. It can be, and to use the language of these days, it could be mice and other things eating up the storehouses of crops. So much can eat away at what we have. And it's a reminder that our treasures here on earth are subject to ruin and loss. Our possessions here, however we want to secure them, are not secure. A fire in our house is in ashes, and all our possessions in it are in ashes. A flood, and so much is ruined. Other storms. Or it can be in the economy. We think we have it set. And a pandemic comes, as it's called, and different regulations, and for some people, have suffered much, even while others haven't. There can be inflation, there can be changes in the economy, there can be recessions or depressions. Riches fly away, or we get sick ourselves. And what value is all the money we have when we can't enjoy it? And then that time comes when we come to the end of our life, and there we have our possessions. And what good do they do at the end? Do you remember that farmer who did very well? His crops flourished. He said, "What will I do? I'll break down my small barns. I'll build newer barns. I'll have enough for a long time. Soul, eat, drink, and be merry. You're all set." And that night, he died. And God said, "You fool. You gathered so much, but you have nothing." And then the conclusion of that account of the rich fool is, "So is he that lays up treasure for himself and is not rich towards God." So what is the Lord Jesus teaching us then when he says, "Lay not up treasure for yourself upon earth"? He's teaching us, first of all, let us not be a fool in spending our life in pursuing what will never profit us and will never be able to keep, even if we gain it. Let your main goal of life not be simply to get the things of earth, because whether we succeed or whether we fail, ultimately we've wasted our life if that's all we've done in life. And how easily we can be tempted to do so. We can even do so. Be so engrossed in getting the things of this earth. We get up, we toil through the days. We're maybe thankful for a Sunday where we don't have to work so hard, but on Monday off we go again. To gain. Or we spend our time scrolling, scanning, what should I buy? What should I get? Where should I go? What should I do? Where's a deal? And we spend our time with all such things. And when we do so also as parents, the question comes, what example are we showing, giving to our children? About what is really important in life. The Lord Jesus is saying, do not be a fool in spending your life pursuing what you'll never be able to keep, even if you gain it. But another thing he is teaching then is not to trust in uncertain riches. The emphasis here is on laying up because you think it will give you the good life. But the Lord Jesus is warning it's all fleeting. It all breaks. It all perishes in the end. In other words, don't base your happiness on getting things or think you can't be happy if you don't have things. Don't simply labor to become secure through what you have. Don't make an idol of these things. To make an idol of them is to have them as your treasure, that you're willing to sacrifice other things in order to keep. Do you remember those pig farmers? Those pig farmers who had quite a few pigs, and they took care of them. And then all of a sudden, they saw those pigs start running towards the cliff, and they plunged off the cliff, and they died. And they understood what happened. That there was that man who had been filled with devils, and the Lord Jesus had come and he had cast them out of that man, and they had entered into the swine and perished. And what did they do? They didn't say, "Oh Lord Jesus, deliver us also from sin and Satan's power, and let us serve and love God." No, they said, "Jesus, please leave," because it showed that their pigs were more valuable to them than the Lord Jesus Christ. And we make it an idol. He says, do not lay up for yourselves treasures. Do not have these things as your treasures that you hold on to at all cost, but even at the cost of your soul. But another aspect here is, and it's connected, but it's this selfishness in our pursuit and use of them. Notice how it speaks of laying up for yourselves. For yourselves. That we would not think that the things we have, because we've received them lawfully, are just for ourselves. And sometimes we think, well, no, I also give to the church. I just had a collection, and we give to the church, and we give to other causes. But is that just to appease our conscience in our enjoyment of all the rest, whether that be 97 or 79% of what we receive? Is our heart set on our enjoyment of what we receive in a selfish way, laying up for ourselves? It's a danger, isn't it? Danger for me and for you. Whether we're young and we think, well, what, I don't make that much, and what difference does it make whether I give to a good cause or to the church? It's a summer job. It's not about the amount, it's about where our heart is. Is it all about me? Or is it about giving? What good will it do if we just live to get and use for ourselves these things? The Lord Jesus would later say, wouldn't he, "What shall it profit a man if he gain the whole world and lose his own soul?" And that brings us to the deepest folly of pursuing the things of this earth as our treasure. Not only are they fleeting, but they're also of no real value to give us what we truly need. And that is a heavenly treasure, which is our second point. Laying up heavenly treasure. We've seen the value of earthly things, and there is a value to them. And we may be thankful for them, and we may receive them with gratitude to God, and we may even enjoy them. And yet, when we set our heart on them, and when we have them as our treasure, what good can they do if that's all we have? What then is the value of these heavenly things, these heavenly treasure? What are these heavenly treasures? First of all, they are spiritual treasures. Heaven is a very real place. And it's at the heart of that spiritual realm of God. That's where God is. God, who is spirit. And those treasures are then spiritual treasures. And that makes them so valuable because we are spiritual beings. We don't just have a body. If we only had a body, we would only need the things of this earth to provide for ourselves. But we know that we also have a soul. And we can't see our soul, can we, children? We can't see. Where's your soul? So hard to understand sometimes. But our soul is how we relate to God. We relate to God because we have a soul. Just as we relate to this world around us with our body. And we need a provision not only for our body but for our soul. And there's nothing here on earth that can supply for our soul. Only God and these spiritual treasures that God gives from heaven can supply in the need of our soul. That is what makes them so valuable. Because if we have a treasure for our soul, then we are provided for body and soul. They're spiritual treasures. They're also divine treasures. These are the things of God. Because what fills heaven? Ask the children. Children, where is God? You say, God is in heaven. That's right. He is there. And that's what makes heaven heaven. And these treasures, these heavenly treasures, are the things of God. And then we could think of all the good gifts that God gives from heaven. But you can especially think of who is the treasure of heaven. Who is the most valuable of heaven? Is it not Christ, in whom dwells the fullness of the Godhead bodily? Is he not the treasure? As that great mediator, out of whose fullness we may receive grace for grace. In him are hid all the treasures, it says in Colossians, of wisdom and knowledge for foolish and ignorant sinners. In him is a fullness of divine grace for guilty and unworthy sinners. In him is a fullness of power for the helpless. In him is a fullness of comfort for those who are cast down. In him are the riches of life for those in the midst of death. In him are all the riches that we can ever desire. There is pardon for sin. There's peace with God. There's light and truth to shine in your soul. There's victory over sin and those spiritual enemies. There's holiness to fill us with delight. There's love. There's boundless love that fills this blessed mediator for enemies, to melt hearts, to make friends. All is in Jesus Christ. All divine and spiritual treasures are in him. And he is there. He is there in all this fullness of glory and fullness of grace. And all these treasures that are in Christ are treasures whereby God reconciles sinners to God, to ultimately have God as your treasure, God as your portion. We sang of that already, didn't we? God is my portion. And if you have God as your portion, you have a treasure that cannot be put into words. The Creator, the God over all, as your God. Mary Winslow was a woman who was born in the 1700s, lived also into the 1800s. She was certainly a mother of many children, and she was also a widow, to raise them by herself. And yet, she did not raise them by herself. She once wrote, "To have God to go to lay before him all our wants, to express our fears, to plead his promises, and to expect that because he has promised, he will fulfill it, is worth more than all the world can give. Do you hear it? This treasure, worth more than all the world can ever give. Spiritual treasure, divine treasure. It's also an eternal treasure. It's brought out here. Treasures in heaven where neither moth nor rust corrupt, and where thieves do not break through or steal. These treasures are secure. No moth can eat the garment of Christ's righteousness. No rot can undermine the foundation of this heavenly city. No mold can ever ruin that feast of grace that is there. No thieves can break into heaven and create harm and damage and steal from the glories and the fullness of heaven. Nothing can diminish the riches of Christ in any way. Those treasures are secure. Those treasures are eternal. Here we see change and decay in everything around us. But there is no decay. There is no diminishing. It is forever. There's a fountain that never diminishes. There is a foundation that never moves. There is a treasure, unsearchable riches that are never, they don't even begin to be exhausted. Peter, 1 Peter 1 verse 4, speaks of an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled, and that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you. That's why Mary Winslow said to her children, and is that not the best thing also a mother can urge upon her children? My dear children, live for eternity. This world is not worth living for. See, it's about living for. That's what your life is all about. She said, let it be eternity. Do you agree? That these heavenly treasures are of so much more value than anything else you can set your heart on here below. That's why the Lord Jesus says, let not your life's pursuits be to simply scrape together some more earthly treasures, only to lose them in the end. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven. What does that mean? To lay up for yourselves treasure in heaven. It can't mean that we take valuable things and we bring them into heaven and we put them in the bank of heaven, as it were. In a sense, what do we have to bring to heaven? What are we of ourselves but poor and empty and needy? What does it mean? Does it not involve, first of all, to lay up treasure in heaven? Is that you as it were, have all your treasure there in heaven? In other words, that you commit your precious soul and its great salvation to the God in heaven. You think of how in 2 Timothy 1, Paul said, I know whom I have believed, and am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I have committed unto him against that day. You can't entrust your soul, your salvation, to the things of this earth, but to this God of heaven. The only way to be a citizen of that heavenly city, that heavenly kingdom, and to share in all its riches is by faith. That's why Christ began the Sermon on the Mount by saying, blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. They're poor. They're needy. They have nothing to contribute. And therefore, all their hope and all their trust, is that you? Is in this God to supply a full salvation for time, for eternity. But more in focus here yet, laying up treasure is also coming to see more and more of what treasure you have in heaven with Christ. Sometimes we say so easily to have Christ is to have all. And it's true, isn't it? If you have Christ, you have all. But now if someone asks you, what is that all? What do you find in Christ? What do you receive from Christ? Who is he to you? How long could you speak? 5 minutes? 10 minutes? An hour? Longer? Of what you find in Christ and what you receive from Christ and all the aspects of his work and all the aspects of his person and his natures as God and man. Lay up treasures in heaven is related to that call of Colossians 3. If ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sits at the right hand of the Father. Set your affections on the things above and not on the things below. For you are dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God. If your treasure is not below, he says, don't spend your life chasing what is below, let alone the sin below. But seek the things above, the things of God, which are spiritual and divine and eternal, and the graces that flow from above. To be seeking those things as you open the Word of God, and that Word becomes, as it were, a window into heaven, whereby you may see something of the glory of this Christ, and you may receive from him for yourself. And that you realize, as the Lord shows you more of your need in all the aspects of that need and all the aspects of that problem of sin, in the midst of those things, he shows what a perfect Savior and what a perfect provision he has for you in those different aspects, that it fills you with amazement. Is he also such a Savior for me? Does he do also that for me? Not only forgiving, but also renewing and guiding and teaching and comforting and correcting and ruling and interceding and so many other aspects of what he does. And what's the result? What's the result of seeking those things above, of laying up treasure in the sense of finding more and more of that treasure in heaven? Isn't it that you also return it all back to God? All that grace that comes from Christ, you return it back to him. You bring it back. Lord, this is all grace. It's not of me, but it's all of God. And you bring it back to him in thankfulness to him, in praise to him, laying up treasure in heaven, ascribing it all to God. What a blessing. That's why Mary Winslow said that when she could view Christ, it was worth 1,000 worlds to me, more value than anything here below. But one final aspect of what laying up treasure in heaven involves. It involves how we use our earthly things. And that comes out in Luke 12 especially, starting at verse 29, where it's an echo of Matthew 6, where he says, seek not what you will eat and drink. Seek first the kingdom of God. He says, God knows you have need of these things. And then it says, fear not, for it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. Sell what you have, give alms, provide yourselves bags which wax not old, a treasure in the heavens that fails not, where no thief approaches, neither moth corrupts. It says, instead of scraping together for yourself treasure on earth, he says, receive those gifts to be able to give to others. And as you give to others, you are actually giving to Christ in heaven. In the sense of serving others, you are serving Christ in heaven. You are laying up that treasure in heaven. And yet it is no loss to lay it up in heaven rather than keep for yourself. Or is it? Church Father Augustine, he tells a story of a man who was not at all well off, and he needed money, so he sold a piece of land. And before he went home, he first decided to give some away. And he ended up giving half of what he had got for the land away. And it just so happened that as he was coming home just at that time and in that place, there were robbers who came and who stole the rest of what he had. And then Augustine says, the devil hoped that that man would say, oh, if only I hadn't given any of that away, if only I had gone right home with it all, then I would not have lost anything. And then Augustine says, instead the man said, what a miserable fellow I am, not to have given them the whole lot. I didn't lose what I gave. I could and did lose what I didn't give. He said, well, actually, what I gave away, that was kept. That was given to Christ, and he used it. But what I kept for myself, that was lost. And so Augustine concludes, a thief was able to make off with this man's money, but was not able to pull his heart down from heaven. You see, the heart laying up treasure in heaven, which also involves using the gifts that God has given in service to the Christ in heaven. Whatever those gifts be, whether it's financial or other things. Isn't that what the Lord Jesus taught in that parable of those on the right and on the left? That those on the right hand, they had given that cup of cold water, they had visited, and they had clothed, and they had served. And Christ says, you have done it unto me. In that sense, laid up treasure in heaven. Congregation, it comes, doesn't it, to our heart. Where's our heart? What do we value? Because the Lord Jesus concludes this brief section, where your heart is, or where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. And that's our final point, valued treasures. The question is not how many possessions we have. There are beggars, and there are billionaires who only have a treasure here below. And there's also beggars and billionaires who have their treasure in heaven. Where's our heart? If there was someone who followed us through a week, what would they say about our priorities and what is important to us, what we value? When we get up in the morning, is it get up and, oh, I have to do this, 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 and this, and off we race? Or is it seek first the kingdom of God? As we go through our day, what would he see us, hear us talking about? Buying, selling, doing, going? Or also of this heavenly treasure? If he saw our last moments of the day, is it still, oh, checking and seeing, or also with these things of eternal value in the Word of God? If he could read our thoughts and he could see our desires inside us, where would he see our desires going? Even when we wake up at night. Is it my heart instructs me in his love in seasons of the night? Or do they go elsewhere? Where would he see us in our element? At work, in outings, this, that, or with the word of God, or with in service to him? Where would he see us thrilled? We can continue asking questions, can't we? And sometimes we can be, or often we're very thankful that people don't see everything about us and everything in our minds. But congregation, there's one who does. And that's God, who searches the heart. And he knows where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. My friend, if your heart is still simply on the things of this earth, though you can talk about God and talk about the Bible and say the right things and everything else, if your heart is still only bound to the things of this earth, why is that? Can you honestly say that the things of this earth are of more value to that heavenly, divine, spiritual, eternal treasure? Can you honestly say to Christ that the things you can earn and you can buy are of more value than Christ? And if you don't value Christ more, the problem is not Christ. The problem is your own heart. The problem is your own spiritual deadness. What is it to be spiritually dead? Then we're only alive to the things of this earth, and we're dead towards God. And if we're dead towards God, then this spiritual treasure, this heavenly treasure, then Christ himself is not our treasure. We don't value him because he's not really real to us. And then also our own spiritual need is not real to us. Our sin, our guilt, our misery. And my friend, if that's your case, then it shows that you must be born again. The Lord Jesus says, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of heaven and all that wealth and riches. You must be born again. And where is that to bring you? It's to bring you to this very Christ who is speaking these words and exposing where your heart has gone, and it's only to the things of this earth, so that you'd come before him and you'd confess that before him. Lord, this is the condition of my heart. And confess before him your absolute need of his grace and of his salvation. Confess it before him, who is so willing to give, who's so willing to make things new, who's so willing to give that spiritual life, who was so willing that he gave his own life unto death, to give this new spiritual life freely, graciously, powerfully, effectually. Oh, let it bring you to him. And even if you have been born again and you still find so much earthly mindedness within you, oh, let that just bring you to this same Savior again, to deliver you from that earthly mindedness, just living as if you only have a body and forgetting you have a soul. Forgetting, and also that selfishness that we're so prone to, that we'd rather get than give. And that so we would live out of those riches of Christ Jesus in such a way that we would realize this life is not just about me, but it's about receiving from him in such a way that it returns to him in thanksgiving, but it also is we use it what he gives in service to him, which is actually a giving back to him of what he's given to us. That comes with a close walk with the Lord. And that is to end with what Mary Winslow wrote: what a poor, wretched exchange professors make when they barter the blessings of a close walk with God for the beggarly enjoyments of an empty, disappointing world. 10 minutes at the feet of Jesus in a full view of his love while confessing sins and shortcomings, sins we know already pardoned, yet sorrowing that we should ever grieve one who so tenderly loves us, is a happiness I would not exchange for millions of worlds. Would you? Where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. Amen.